guess your playing days here at King's Home pretty well coincided with the introduction of coaches proper rather than just the captain looking after training.
For all the time, we had Don Rutherford, who was about, obviously...
He was the first coach you had, wasn't he?
Well, I don't think he was a captain, and he tried the coaches. But he was came back from the 66 Lions tour, and they lost all the tests on it. And a British Lion was clearly much better in what he knew and what he could play than the rest of us.
Because he introduced quite a lot of new coaching methods, didn't he?
Well, me and Jack Folk going in and out of flags, sidestepping and all that sort of thing. You got your kicking with the outside of the foot and all. A couple of things. I made a mark one day in the rain down at the Dean's Walk-In, and when I kicked it, it landed under the clock on the 22. I thought, well, Rutherford, he wasn't there. He retired by then, gone. I remember thinking, I'll tell him next time I see him. Because he tried to teach us all things we thought we couldn't do. And he did make a massive impact because he taught us all those things and brought it in. It wasn't in our thinking. And so he also, with the drinking culture on a Saturday night, we all had a drink, you see. Whether you won or lost, you had a drink. Now, a lot of the boys didn't drink in the week, but you had that team thing together. We did. He said, well, you can have a drink, but there's no need to drink those volumes. He says, how do you feel tomorrow? I said, well, tomorrow's Sunday morning, you don't worry about that, And of course, Ivor Oakes, he loved to drink as well. He'd come and talk, and he'd say things like, I thought you took a step back today on one of the... You think, what? This was the psychology you got of it all. But Tom Oakes, his brother, was always he'd go on comparatively early, 7:30 he'd be gone, he'd have a soft drink and talk to you, and he said, that referee on the pool, what did he say to you at so and so? So he always had a tremendous interest in it either. Even though he wasn't on the coaching side, Ivor did all the training, and Tom really, he was no more than the chap that did the showers, but he was an integral part of our team. Come on, boys, you got them today. He walked past and you think, go on, Tom. So, when you had a big team come here, Cardiff used to come here with 8 internationals, and 4 of them were British Lions. They were blue bloods. So I always valued his friendship and the commitment he had to the team. For someone who was just doing the showers, it was in his heart.
Yeah. So what coaches did you have after Don Rutherford?
Dick Smith was a captain coach. Mike Nichols made a massive impact because he was, I think he had 2 or 3 years at it. And we learned then from Don. Don brought in unopposed rugby, and we did a lot of things without a defence. And then we had, they'd kick off, one man would kick off to our team lined up, and we'd play the game. And then you'd have 3 blokes just coming to the rucks for you, and we'd go through all the moves and all that sort of thing. And it wasn't until we had Viv Woolley was coach for a little while, after a long time after I'd retired. Keith Richardson became a coach who played here with distinction, And they were the forerunners. Barry Corliss came from Moseley. Now, he played in the England team when I played. His brother Trevor was a very good prop I played England trials against. We didn't get a cap, Trevor, but Barry did, and he came here. Most of them were schoolmasters or that sort of. I mean, Keith was, for example, he taught at Wycliffe, and so they've got that. They're used to standing in front of a group of people and saying, "What we're doing is this, and are we trying that?" And by and large, we were all obedient. We all did what the coach said. But I didn't have the discipline of the professional coach, because obviously I retired well before that came here. But I would think that being able to show yourself on a video on the Monday morning, lagging behind or missing a tackle or dropping the ball, would be quite a useful coaching aid. And also, a lot of the coaches now, they know about the psychological side of it, the build up to the match, what they can say to you to make you play better at half time, what can they say to. I mean, that wasn't even thought of in our time. We went out, and that's why that Gloucester spirit, culture, I call it. Jesus, I'm not sure that's the right word. But that came from those players who'd handed it down to one another. And we all looked after one another in that sense.
Yeah, I think ethos is the posh word for it.
Well, there you go. And I have to say you're quite right.
Tell us more about Dick Smith.
With Dick, I always think when they talk about players who never played for England, and Mickey Booth was an unlucky player who should have played. You know, when I think of all the players around his era that got one or two caps and they didn't settle on anyone, Dickie Dukes was the outstanding player, but he retired. Mickey was to go through. Billy Gittins from Coventry got one. Ashby from Wasps got two. There's a chap called Spencer, I don't know who he played for, but he got one or two. You know, he was better than all them, you know. So, you know, it was an injustice, really. But the best player of all, when I think of them, or when I look at them all, I think that Dick Smith was the most outstanding of my generation, because he had pace aplenty, and they all knew he had this dummy, and he'd run up to him, and they keep buying it. He'd run up to Bristol, they played him 27 times, and they played with him in the county, and they still knew that he had this dummy, and they buy it off him. And he ran the end of the line-out. When he retired, I became the captain. And things didn't go well. We lost a couple of games. And I talking about the shirt and the responsibility, all the things that I'd done in my time, you know, here I am captain, and we lost two games. And I thought, well, this is, I've got to do something. So, right, I'll go around to see Dick. And I said, right, Dick, I need you to come back. And he said, I ain't buying another pair of boots. You know. By then, I was in the big time in the England setup. You may talk about it later, but there was a big scandal when I did the book about how much they paid you to have boots. All those people, there was a chap called Derek Ibbotson, who was a world-class miler that worked for Gola. And there was another chap called, I think it was John Cooper, he was a silver medalist, a hurdler. And he worked for Adidas. And I used to get these boots given to me to say, if you wear them on television, because I was playing in the big games. And I had this pair of Adidas boots that didn't fit me. So I said, have them and you can. Anyway, the next Tuesday he come down and trained. And he trained. And Peter Ford was very influential on selection then. And we selected by committee. There was a selection committee. The United captain was on it, the captain, one or two old players. And Peter Ford was very often the chairman. And very influential, you know, he's experienced. I said, put Dick in. He said, well, he's never fit. I said, well, put him in now and let's get him fit. First of all, he ran the line out and we won the game. Then we won again. So we had someone to throw it to that gave us the ball. And then we could scrum all right. We always had the pack. But Dick Smith, man, he played 12 England trials and never got a game. And he could have played for Scotland because he was born up in Scotland. His son Ian played for Scotland. But Dick Smith didn't don the international jersey. I thought it was the biggest waste of all of the ones of the lads that I played with, the biggest miss. You had Buzz Rogers and Tony Neary. You know, Tony Neary was, you know, he was a pal of mine. I played with him, and he had 40 something caps, and he deserved them. And Buzz Rogers had a similar number, maybe slightly less, and no doubt he deserved to be capped. But Dick didn't get one. Yeah. And I always think that Gloucester was seen as a piece of scrubland west of Reading. And that we there was no motorway, and for people in London to say, well, I'm watching Quinns next week, or I'm going to Richmond, that was easy. They live there. Those all those selectors, Northampton. I always think Northampton, and I wouldn't say the names and all, but they deserve their caps and all. They all got one or two, but if you were there, there'd be like three or four of them in the England trial, so they got to get out of it. You know, while they're in the trial, you've got a great chance. So, it just seemed to me it was easier. From those places than in Gloucester. If you got a cap from Gloucester, mate, in those days you were doing all right. You had to be something, because they were reluctant to come and give us any credit for what we. And we won the cup in 1972. And all those, if you ever look at the picture of Mike Nicholls getting the award, all those RFU committee men, look at them getting. They never played an open, expansive game. Look at them. You don't win cups playing that way. And they didn't understand. We played in the North Gloucester Combination Cup all our lives. All those local lads knew how to play, and we knew how to play defensive stuff and keep it tidy and all that. Yeah. You know, Dick Smith, he was top, he was.
Yeah, yeah. A while back, John and I and one or two others from the project amused ourselves over a lunch in the pub compiling a Gloucester team of players who should have played for England and never did. Yeah. And yeah. I have to say Dick Smith and Mickey Booth were right at the top of our list.
Absolutely, yeah. Dick Smith was, I mean, you know, when I first started really watching rugby after I left school, Dick Smith was my number one player every time.
He was, wasn't he? Outstanding. Yeah. So I'm glad that I'm talking to people that have seen him, because it's one of those things when you say, well, so and so was a good boxer, or so and so was a good player, you can't actually describe his contribution week in, week out. You know, all that he knew about things in the scrum, he'd look down that tunnel and he knew where the foot was, and he he used to tap it himself if we had a loose one, you know. He knew all of that stuff, you know.
Yeah. And he'd been a centre, of course, hadn't he?
He was quick. Yeah, he could play in the centre. No, he was ultra fast. But yeah. I do think if he'd have had a man marking him, he'd have had less in terms of opportunity, because centres are centres, but, you know, it's a line defence, they're up flat, or, you know. When he had the freedom to be a... And he was an out-and-out open side. He didn't play... He wasn't one of these hard-working, get to the thing. If he got to the break, then he'd pick the ball up and run with it. A lot of open sides got to the ball just before the other and just turned it outside and fell on the ball. But that's because Dick was that much quicker to him.
Yeah.
And of course, you had 40 at that time on the line, so he was ruthless. A ruthless...
I can't remember who it was, one of the players we talked to of that generation... recalled a game when Cardiff came up here, and apparently as they came in off their coach, their number 10, who was the current Welsh international, apparently said, "Is that Dick Smith playing today?"
Yeah. Well, it's funny, I went to speak at a dinner in Coventry, and they were the best time of our era, club-wise, and I was talking to Billy Gittins, who was the one scrum half who got the cap, and Mickey Booth didn't get the cap, and they put him next to him. There was Keith Fairbrother, the old prop, who was the chairman at the time, and I was just there to say a few words and to make it a nice night and all that. And he said, he expanded that story. He said, when you used to come up Gloucester, we always knew we always had a big crowd. I said, well, we thought you always had a big crowd. You'd have a big crowd here, but when you come, they all come down here, and the Cheapside hated you. I went, really? He said, because we played, we drew 6-6 in the 72 Cup run, and I can remember, like, we kicked off, and Nicholl said to us, well, he said, from this kickoff, we will get a warning. And I said, yeah. He said, so do as much damage as you can, he said, and then we'll have the warning. So we took on it, and we were off, it was straight armors, bang. And the referee stood up, and he said, he blew the whistle, and he stood back, and he said, right, captains. And the captain turned up. We all looked round for Nicholls, and suddenly he emerged from the other side of the advertising boards, and the two Coventry players were laid out on the other side. Because Billy Gittins had seen all this, and he said, from that day, he said, whenever they come up, he said, our blokes used to watch your bus arrive, he said. You got three B's in your team, he said. He said, the prop used to come in and say, is Burton playing? Yes, right. He says, right. He said, is Dick Smith playing? He says, yeah, right. He said, and his Bayliss inside centre. He said, and our centre said he had a bad leg. He said, but apparently the outside half at Coventry, because Dick was quick minded. He was quick. And the one who told me, and I see him at Twickenham every time I go there, the winger that Sam the Coventry winger Sam, I just can't remember his name now. He made the rugby balls at rugby school for a long time. Sam, big tall, long, straight runner.
Yes,
yeah, you can see him.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah. Think of him. And he was the one who told me that about Gittins, because Gittins was stood there telling me, and the conversation at dinner sort of thing. He said, yeah, and he said, yeah, the three of them, he said, they come up there. Bayliss used to hit the inside centre. He said, so our bloke used to swap. He said, in your bed, you in the scrum throwing that heavy artillery, he said, and Dick Smith used to go off the side, off a shovel. I said, really? And he said, yeah, he said, he used to terrify him. But mate, that was always a hard game. And now, sadly, they're not what they were.